Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Tet Zayin. Today's daf has been sponsored in honor of Ovadia Ben Rachel Matana, Mr. Albert Jacob, by his children and grandchildren. Today's daf is being studied at the Refuah Shel Imam Moshe Ben Victoria. Today's daf is also being learned La'ilun Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden, and La'ilun Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Daf Tet Vav Amud Sheni. Ten lines from the bottom. The first words on the line are Kli Zechochit. So we learned that one of the Gezerot that were made by Shimon ben Shattah was that, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yohanan, one of the Gezerot was on glass dishes. Kli Zechochit. Now, from the Torah, there are certain materials of kelim that receive tum'ah. For example, there's kli matechot, that's metal. You have keli etz, you have wooden kelim. You have kelim that are made out of etzim, that are made out of bones. However, out of all the materials that the Torah talks about, the Torah does not mention kli zechuchit, glass, in regards to tum'ah. So came the rabbis, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yohanan, and they said that Kli Zechuchit can also receive Tum'ah. So now the Gemara is going to ask, at what level? How are we going to classify Kli Zechuchit? So the Gemara says, Kli Zechuchit mai tama gazur behu rabbanan Tum'ah. What's the reason why the rabbis decreed Tum'ah on it? Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Amar Ishtakish, since they're created from the sand, glass is created from the chol, from the sand, shavinu rabbanan kechli heres. So the rabbis gave it a law of kechli heres. Kechli heres would be earthenware that's made out of pottery, which is also made from dirt, from the ground. So it's similar to glass. So therefore they gave glass a din of Kili Heres. That just like the Torah says that Kili Heres has the ability to receive Tum'ah, so too Kli Zechuchit as well. Now, the law of Kili Heres is, just to review from the Torah, that Kili Heres only becomes Tameh Me'aviro. Me'aviro means if something enters its airspace, the airspace of the keli itself. For example, let's say a sheretz was suspended in the airspace, the hollow area of the keli, then whatever's in the keli, even though it didn't touch it, just suspended within the airspace, me'aviro we call that, whatever's in the keli can become tameh. However, keli haritz is not tameh me'gabo. Gabo means the outside. If a sheretz touched the outside of the keli, that's called megabo, the gav of the keli is not tameh, and what's inside is not tameh. That's a din. Keli ha'eretz metameh me'aviro velo megabo. Furthermore, the law of keli ha'eretz is that if it became tameh, the only way to kosher or to purify a keli ha'eretz is by breaking it. Shaviratan zuhi taharatan, the Gemara says. As opposed to immersing it in a mikveh. Mikveh does not help the keli haris. The keli must be dismantled. It must be broken. So the Gemara here is saying that we're giving keli zichuchit the deen of keli haris. So now we have to see to what extent are we going to say that it has a deen of a Kili Haris. seemingly, if it's like a keli hayres, that would mean that it is not subject to the laws of mikveh, just like the laws of keli hayres are not subject to tebila, so too kli zichuchit. So the Gemara says, ela me'ata, according to what you're telling me, that you tell me kli zichuchit is like keli hayres, lo tehe la'en tahara b'mikveh. So they should not be subject to tahara in a mikveh, which means the only way that we should say that a kli zichuchit became tameh, the only way that we should say it becomes tahor, is if it breaks. So then why do we have a statement in the Mishnah that says ve'elu chotzitzin bekelim, the following things serve as a hatzitza, as an interference on kelim, on vessels that you're dipping in the mikveh. Hazefet, which means the pitch. Vehamor, mor would be like musk. That's like Rashi says, these things are slippery, let's say. And when you put them on a keli, on a vessel, especially a glass keli, it's like a film on them. And therefore it's considered a hatzitza. They don't just slide off that easily. They stick to the keli. So therefore, if these two items, the zefet and the mor, are on the vessel, the Mishnah says that it serves as an interference. Bechli zechuchit. And kli zechuchit. So we see what? The kli zechuchit must be subject to tebila. If already we're discussing what's considered a hatitza and what's not considered a hatitza. So the question is, what do you mean? You just told me that it has a din of a keli hayres. Then what are you telling me over here? Kli zechuchit, subject to hatitzot, with different types of films that are on top of it. So comes the Gemara and says, Hacha b'maya askinan. No, that Mishnah was talking about a specific case. Kegon shinikebo, where the keli zichuchit got a hole in it, ve'tif letochan avar. And you filled up the hole with lead. Ve'rabi me'iri, and it's following Rabbi Meir's opinion, de'amar, Hakol holech achar ma'amid. Everything of a keli goes after, the status of a keli goes after the way you fixed it. Which means, now this kli zichuchit is only a keli functioning because of the metal, the lead that you stuck in the hole. Without that metal, it's not a keli. So therefore, the bimir holds, the way you plug up a keli, if that makes it usable, then the keli is defined by the material that you plugged it up with. So therefore, this kli zichuchit that we were talking about, that had some mor on it, and we said it's a hatzitza, wasn't a regular keli zichuchit. A regular kli zichuchit is like keli hayres. It's not subject to mikveh the way you purify it is by breaking it. Oh, so what is the case of the mikveh talking about? That's talking about a special kli zichuchit that had a hole in it, and you patched it up, you plugged it up with avar, with lead. And the chidush is, like Rabbi Meir, that a keli that you plugged up, and now the plug makes it usable, so the keli has the status of the plug. In this case over here, the plug is metal. What's the din in metal? The only way to purify keli matechot is, you have to dip it in the mikveh. So therefore, that's not a regular kli zichuchit over there. Really, a regular kli zichuchit is din of keli hayres. Therefore, the way you purify it is through shevira. This keli zichuchit over here was a special situation. The Gemara says, detanya, because we have a braita, kli zichuchit shenikebo, a kli zichuchit, a glass vessel that got a hole in it, v'tif letochan avar, and you filled it up with avar as lead. Amar Rabbi or Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Meir mitameh, v'achamim mitaharin. Rabbi Meir says tameh, and achamim say tahor. Now we have to understand, what does this mahlokah mean? What do you mean tameh and tahor? If you have a glass and it broke, so you filled it in with metal. So what does Rabbi Meir mean when he says tameh? Why should the keli be tameh? If anything, when the keli was a glass and it broke, it got a hole in it, so right away the keli becomes tahor. Now once you fill it up with metal, even if you want to say it's considered a metal keli, it only has tum'ah going forward. So when the Bimi Ir says metameh, the Tosfot explains he means it's metameh going forward min haTorah, because kli matechet has the ability to receive tumah from the Torah law. So that's what the Bimi Ir is saying. Well, from the fact that the Bimi Ir says metameh, must be he's telling you that now this glass that's plugged up with lead is a metal keli. That's why it's metameh from the Torah likely matechet. The hachamim metaharim. Now, hachamim, when they say tahor, they mean like this. Of course, going forward, this keli now has the ability to receive tum'ah. Because bottom line, it's a keli. But they say it's tahor, meaning it's tahor from the Torah. Because they must classify this keli as a kli zichuchit. And kli zichuchit is only tameh midrabbanan. And therefore, when the hachamim say mitaharin, they mean, once you took this glass, it broke. Well, for sure it's tahor. Once the keli breaks, then we know it's tahor. Now you plugged it up with metal? Min haTorah, it's not a metal keli, according to the hachamim. Therefore, min haTorah going forward, there's no tum'ah min haTorah on it. So when they say mitaharin, they mean mitaharin going forward min haTorah. Aval midrabbanan, of course, it'll be a din of a kli zichuchit, and it's able to receive tumah. So therefore, from this braita, you see the machloket of Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. When you plug up a vessel with metal, is it considered metal or not? Rabbi Meir says metameh. He means it's metameh min haTorah going forward. Oh, must be you're considering it metal. Because kli matechot are tameh min haTorah. Hachamim that say tahor, they must mean what? That it's glass. And therefore going forward, it's tahor min haTorah. Because glass is not tameh min haTorah. As I told you, glass is not one of the elements that are mentioned in the Torah. Elatz mitameh midrabbanan. Okay, why? Because he must still say, even though you plugged it up, it's still considered a glass vessel. That's the way the Tosafot explains this beraita. Comes the Gemara and says, Ela me'ata, according to what you're telling me, that what? A glass, pure glass keli, is considered like keli ha'eres, lo litmu migaban. So then they should not receive tum'ah from their back, from the outside. As we learned, keli ha'eres only becomes tameh me'aviro, from the airspace. Oh, but alamatra. So then why do we have a Mishnah that says keli ha'eres? V'chli neter. Keli ha'eres is earthenware, it's pottery. V'chli neter, that she says it's made from min adama levana. It's made from white earth. So they call that keli neter. That's the color of the keli. It's white. Tum'atan shaveh. They're equal. Which means the tum'ah of both these kelis, kelim, are similar. And to, what does that mean? Mitame'in umetame'in. Me'avirehen. Mitame'in means that she, top line, nitlit tum'ah ba'aviran. If you took tum'ah and you suspended it in the airspace of these kelim, nitma min ha'avir. So the keli itself and what's in it will become tameh from suspending something in its airspace. That's the first word. When it says mitame'in, meaning they are able to become tameh, this keli, from something that is tameh in the airspace. Hazar v'tala ochlin be'aviran. And now, once the contents of the keli ha'eres became tameh, now let's say you took food that was tahor and you suspended it in the airspace, it has the ability to make the food tameh. Because again, it goes both ways. So whatever you stick in the airspace, it'll either be metameh, the contents, or it has the ability to metameh the tahor that's inside. So that's the both dinim of these keli ha'eres. Let's read that inside. Now again, Tosfot just says, that she says, I'm sorry, in the third line, ve'af al gav shelo nagru. Again, we're talking about suspended in the airspace, even though nothing touched. תכתיב כל אשר בתוכו יטמע, ואפילו מלא חרדל שאינו נוגע בדפנותיו, אלא סמוך לדפנות. Rashi gives an example, even if, let's say, it was filled with mustard seed, the candy hayanis. So, you see that not all the mustard seed is touching the walls of the vessel. Mm-hmm. The mustard seed is, you know, in the middle of it, it's just really suspended in its airspace. If you want to see just a picture of what that she is talking about, in your Perush Chai, in page number 169, you just to see a keli filled with different seeds. Now, the seeds that are in the middle obviously are suspended in airspace, because they're not resting on the base of the keli, nor are they touching the sides of the keli. So therefore, as she's telling you, that would be an example of having something that's in the avir of the airspace. Let's say that mustard seed is tameh. It has the ability to tameh the entire keli. In any event, let's read the Mishnah again. Top line of the Gemara. Alamatnan. And why do we have a Mishnah that says keli chayeres vekli neter? Tum'atan shaveh. The tum'ah is shaveh. In that what? Mitame'in umetame'in me'avirehen. Umetame'in me'achorehen. And they also have the ability to receive tum'ah from their, not their back, but from their other side. What does that mean? So if you look at picture 172, well, actually, if you look at picture 168, we're talking about a keli that, of course, has a regular receptacle on top. Mm-hmm. However, on the bottom also, at its base, it also is cupped. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there's, if you turn the keli over, the base also has airspace. It's almost like some of the kiddush cups, mm-hmm. that they have a receptacle on top, and they have, let's say, a stem, and on the bottom at the base, they have another like receptacle. If you turn it over, there's a bit kibul. There's airspace in the receptacle. So the hadush of the Gemara is that these keli hayeres are metame through both airspaces. Through the top airspace of the receptacle, if you turn the keli over, as you see in 168, and something goes into the airspace of the base of the keli, which we're calling ma'achorehem, also has the ability to transmit tumah. The Mishnah continues. Ve'en mitame'in megabehen. But being that these are keli hayeres, they do not mitameh from their back, means from the outside of the keli, the gav of the keli, there is no tum'ah. Ushviratan, les din of the keli hayeres, mishviratan metaharatan. If they break, then they become tahor. She's a keli hayeres that was tameh, that broke, the shvira becomes the tahara. So now the Gemara makes the implication. Keli neter v'keli hayeres, who did tum'atan shaveh? Yes, the Gemara is telling us, the Mishnah is telling us, a keli neter and keli hayeres have equal status of tum'ah. Aval mi'idi aharina lo. However, other things like keli zechuchit are not similar to keli hayeres. Only keli neter and keli hayeres are similar, implying what? Everything else is not similar to keli hayeres, and therefore, if keli zechuchit, you're telling me it's not similar to keli hayeres, it's going to be metameh from its back. Because if something touches the outside of the keli, it's going to be metameh. So our question is, what do you mean? You just told me it's similar to keli hayeres. Now you're telling me that it's going to be metameh from its back. Keli hayeres is not metameh megabo. So the Gemara answers, Amre kevan dechi nishtaberu. Since if the kli zichuchit, if the glass broke, yesh lehem takana, they're fixable, which means you can melt down the glass again and refix the keli after it breaks. Shavinu kekli matechot. We gave it a status of metal, which also if it breaks, you melt it down and refix it, resolder it. So therefore, we see now that kli zechuchit is similar also in a way to kli matechet. It's similar to Kli Heres in the sense that what? It does not need mikveh. Which means mikveh doesn't help it. The only way to purify a Kli Zechuchit is what? You gotta break it. But it's also similar to Kli Matechin in the sense that even after it's broken, it's fixable. As opposed to Kli Heres. Kli Heres, once it breaks, usually it's it, it's broken. You can't put the pieces back together again. So we're treating Kli Matechet, I'm sorry, we're treating Kli Zichuchit like Kli Matechet in the sense that if it breaks, it's fixed. Well, therefore, we're going to give it Tum'ah Migabo. So far in this Keli of Zichuchit, we see one deen of Heres and one deen of Matechet. The deen of Heres is what? Shviratan Zuhi Taratan. And the deen of Matechet is, it'll be Metameh Megabo, from the back. Comes the Gemara and says, Elame'ata, once you tell me already you're treating it like a Kli Matechet in a certain way, Yahzeru le'tum'atan yeshena ke'Kli Matechot. We should give it the law of Tum'a yeshena. What is Tum'a yeshena? Literally it means old Tum'a. The law of Kli Matechet midrabanan, rabbinically, is you have a Kli Matechet. Let's say the Kli Matechet broke, and now you have this Kli Matechet, and you put it back together again. You dipped it in the mikveh. You purify. You put it back together again. I'm sorry. The tum'a that was originally on it comes back. This is a hadush. Tum'a yeshena, which is literally old tum'a. Let's read Rashi. Le tum'atan yeshena, Rashi says, im nitme'u. If let's say the keli became tameh, then nikibu, and they broke. Well, once a keli breaks, it's not a keli anymore. Let's say the metal keli all of a sudden got a massive hole in it. So now it's not functional. You cannot use it. V'tiaru, and it became sa'or. V'hazar v'asa mehem kelim, and then you went and you re-fixed it. Yahzeru l'tum'atan. The tum'ah comes back l'atrino tevila. And now you have to dip it in the mikveh. So the rabbis made a special deen by Kli Matechot. So the Gemara is saying, if you're treating Kli Zichuchit like Kli Matechet, so therefore, Kli Zichuchit should also have the deen of Tum'a Yeshena. In the sense that if, let's say, there was a hole in the Kli Zichuchit, and you fixed it, the Tum'a should come back. So the Gemara says, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that says, Kli Matechot, that's metal kelim, Peshutehen, Umekabelehen, Teme'in. What does Peshutehen mean? There's a law of Peshute kelim matechot. Peshute kelim matechot would mean like scraps of metal. It's a flat piece of metal. A keli, on the other hand, has a receptacle, has a bet kibul, has an area where you can stick things in. When it's a flat vessel, we call it a peshute keli. It's peshut, it's just a flat vessel. When you say mekabelehen, it means it's a keli that has a kibul, it has a receptacle to it. Both types of keli matechot become tameh, whether it's peshute or whether it's mekabel. Temein, nishberu, but if the keli matechot broke, meaning it did not start functional anymore, taharu, also becomes tahor. However, hazar v'asa mehem kelim, if you refix the kli matechet, hazru le'tum'atan yeshena, it goes back to its original tum'ah. V'ilu gabe kli zichuchitanan, however, by glass we said, kli etz, v'kli or, v'kli etzem, v'kli zichuchit, we're putting all these types of vessels in the same grouping. Kli etz would be wood, kli or would be leather, kli etzim would be bone, and kli zechuchit would be glass. Peshutehen teorin. There the law is a flat keli made out of these things is tahor. It's like keli heres that doesn't have an airspace. flat keli has no airspace. So therefore, all these kelim over here, we're saying that if it's a peshut keli, it does not have tum'ah. Umekabenehem teme'im. But of course, mekabenehem, if they have a kibul, a receptacle, it becomes tameh. Nishberu. And if all these kelim broke, teharu, they become tahor. Hazar ve'asam mehem kelim. And if you re-fix them, mekabelim tum'ah mikan ul'haba. They only receive tum'ah going forward. So Gemara says, mikan ul'haba in. Going forward, yes. Ne'mafreya, lo. So you see over here that we don't have tum'ah yeshena by kli zikuchit. But if you're telling me that kli zikuchit is similar to kli matechot, so we should put on it the din of tum'ah yeshena. So the Gemara says, wait. Tum'at kli zikuchit rabbanan. The whole rule of tum'ah by glass is midrabbanan. There's no source in the Torah for kli zikuchit. The whole law is rabbinical. The tum'at yeshena drabbanan. And the whole source of this tum'ah yeshena, this retroactive tum'ah, is also solely midrabbanan. The tum'ah deoraita ahitu be rabbanan tum'ah. On a tum'ah that's deoraita, like matechet, the rabbis put their institution of what? Tum'ah yeshena. The tum'ah drabbanan, but on a tum'ah that's whole root is midrabbanan, like kli zikuchit. The rabbis did not put a rabbinical tum'ah of tum'ah yeshena on something that's whole source is rabbinical. So that's basically the answer at this point. Why tum'ah yeshena has no application to kli zikuchit? Because it's too much. The whole root of kli zikuchit in tum'ah is rabbinical. That was Yosef ben Yoazin and Yosef ben Yohanan. So now to come along and put another rabbinical restriction on something that's in root is only rabbinical, that's too much. But kli matechet, its source is deoraita. The rabbis had no problem of putting a rabbinical restriction on a tumah of deoraita. So it comes again and says, Pishutehem mi aletameh. Fine. Using that logic, we should say that a peshute keli zikuchit, meaning a flat kli zikuchit, should have the ability to become tameh. Deha peshute keli matecho deoraita ninu, which means the law of a flat metal receptacle becomes tameh from the Torah, like we learned in the previous Mishnah. That said what? A peshute kli matechet can receive tumah. That's from the Torah law. It's midoraita. So therefore, since that's midoraita, and you tell me that kli zikuchit is similar to kli matechet, how is it similar? In the sense that both, if they break, you're able to refix them, and that's why you told me kli zikuchit is tameh, migabo, just like kli matechet is, so then we should say it should also be tameh if it's a peshute keli. Because that's a tum'ah that is deoraita. And therefore, we should put a tum'ah deoraita on this rabbinical tum'ah of kli zikuchit. It's not like the tum'ah of tum'ah yeshena, which the whole rule of tum'ah yeshena is drabbanan. That is drabbanan or a drabbanan. This is a tum'ah of a deoraita source on a drabbanan. So we should put the tum'ah of peshute kelim on zikuchit. So the Gemara says, Avdi Be'u Rabbanan Hekera. The rabbis wanted to make a Heker. They wanted to make a difference. They wanted to make something recognizable. That what? Ki Hechi De'lo Lisrof Alayhu Terumah VeKodashim. So you won't come to burn Terumah and Kodashim. What do we mean? Ultimately, the Kli Zechochit Tum'ah is the Rabbanan. And the rule is that if, let's say, a kli zikuchit became tameh, and now it came in contact with terumah, this terumah is only tameh midrabanan. It's not tameh midoraita. The whole keli is tameh midrabanan. How could the terumah be deoraita? And the rule is that if it's only tameh midrabanan and really tahor from the Torah, this terumah, you don't burn it.
We only learned yesterday from a Mishnah, there's only six cases where we had a safek where we burned teruma. However, besides those six cases, you don't burn teruma if it's only tameh medrabanan. So let's say you have a kli zechuchit. The kli zechuchit became tameh. Teruma touched it. What do you do with that teruma? You'll be what's called toleh. You don't eat it because barmet tameh medrabanan. You put it on the side, you let it deteriorate, you let it become spoiled. And that's now. How are the people going to remember that a kli zechuchit is rabbinical? If we treat it exactly like a kli from the Torah, so they might make a mistake and think, oh, this tuma is deoraita. Which means, now you're going to tell me, well, if you touch the back of it, it's tameh like a kli matechet. So you say, oh, this has a din of kli matechet. What's the law of a kli matechet? If tuma comes in contact with a kli matechet, that is tameh, what do? You have to burn the teruma. So too, I'll say, if it came in contact with the kli zichuchit, I'll burn the teruma. How am I going to remember that kli zichuchit is only midrabanan? So the rabbis figured out a way. The rabbis said, we'll make a hekir. What's the hekir? They said like this. If it's a flat piece of glass, we'll call that pishuteh kli zichuchit. There's no tum'ah by it. So now already you'll see a clear difference between matechet and zechuchit. So you'll know, oh, this is not really matechet. Because if it was matechet, it'd be tameh even on the peshuteh keli level. So therefore, the rabbis made such shekes, so you'll know not to come to burn teruma. So let's review all the dinim now that we know until this point by a kli zechuchit. Number one, it's similar to keli haris in certain ways. What's the similarity? Kedi Haris comes from the ground, from the dirt. Kedi Zichuchit also comes from the hol, from the sand. Nafkamina for Kedi Haris. If a Kedi Haris becomes Tameh, we said, the only way to mitahir it is through breaking it. So to a Kedi Zichuchit, breaking it, fine. But it's also domeh to a Kedi Matechet. In which way? It's domeh to a Kedi Matechet in the sense it's refixable. If it breaks a kli matechet, you can refix it. So to a kli zechuchit, if it breaks, you can refix it. Oh, so how does that affect the kli zechuchit? So was it just like a kli matechet is metameh megabo? So to kli zechuchit is metameh megabo. Oh, already you're treating like a kli matechet. Put tumah yishena. No, that much we're not going to put tumah yishena, because tumah yishena is a midrabanan even by matechet. It's rabbanan. So therefore, we're not going to put a drabanan on a drabanan. Ah, so already you tell me about it's like matechet, so on the banan level you don't want to add stuff on it, but on the right the things add. Oh, so you have pishutim. Pishuteh kli matechet is the oraita. So therefore put it on the kli zikogit. Now we want to make a hekir. So Tosafot asks, oh, you want to make a hekir? You don't need a hekir, you have a hekir already. What's your hekir? Your hekir is that there's not tumah yishena. Which means you see it's different than kli matechet. Kli matechet has tumah yishena. Kli zuchit doesn't have tumah yishena. That's a hekir already. Tosfot says, no, that's not a good hekir. Because even by kli matechet, tumah yishena is only midrabanan. So therefore, you have to show me a hekir on the deoraita level. You have to show me that it's... The whole hekir is what we want to show you, that kli zuchit is not deoraita. So you can't tell me it doesn't have tumah yishena. Because the fact that kli matechet has tumah yishena doesn't say anything. It's only midrabanan it has it. So therefore, that's not a hekir under the deoraita. You have to show me that something deoraita by matechet does not apply. Then I know it's not deoraita. But to tell me that a rabbinical law doesn't apply, it doesn't matter. I'm not looking on the rabbinical level. So therefore, Tosfot said the hekir could only have been by pishuteh kelim. So that's the first a way to understand how a keli zichuchit works. And we turn to the Amud Bet. Rav Ashe Amar. Rav Ashe comes along and says, Le'olam likli heres damu. Rav Ashe has a different understanding. He says, keli zichuchit is exactly like a keli heres.
whatever the law of a Keli Haeres is, that's the law of a Kli Zechuchit. But we brought you a statement that says, or implied, that Kli Zechuchit is metameh megaban from the outside. If you're telling me, Rav Asher, that it's exactly a Keli Haeres, what's the gaban story? There's no problem. I'll give you an answer to that. The reason why we say it's metameh from the outside is not because it's similar to Kli Matechet and those reasons that we gave above. New answer. We're talking about clear glass. Clear glass is obviously see-through. So when you take clear glass, for example, I put something tameh in the airspace on the inside. It's tameh. Putting something touching the outside, since the outside of the keli sees the inside of the keli, because it's see-through, so that's going to be considered like tum'ah on the inside. By glass we could say a hidush. By glass we could say the outside is like the inside. It's not like metal. Metal, the outside is one section, the inside is a different section. Here, it's see-through. So since it can see the inside, it's like a din of Naviro, from the inside. So therefore, Rav Asher, let's understand his whole story here. It's like a Keli Haeres Zichuchi. Therefore, there's no mikveh. The only way you can mitaher it is, you have to break it. It's going to be, let's say, mitameh me'aviro, from the inside. He says it's also going to be mitameh from the outside. Okay, that's the other first shita said that as well, but it said it for different reasons. Which means the first shita said the reason why it's metameh migabo is because why? Is because it's similar to Kli Matechet in a certain way. That it's refixable. So we gave it a din of Matechet on the outside. This rabbi says, no. Don't compare it to Matechet at all. It's like a Keli Haeres. The Hadush of the outside is because the outside could see the inside, so therefore as a din of Avio. So that there's a difference in reason. Now, they'll both agree also that there's no Tum'ah Yishena. Both opinions. Rav Asher and the first opinion also said there's no Tum'ah Yishena. According to the first opinion, why is there no Tum'ah Yishena? Because it's Rabbanan to a Rabbanan. According to Rav Asher, very simple. It's a Keli Haeres. Keli Haeres is no Tum'ah Yishena. Finished. Nothing to talk about. Pishutim, they'll both agree also. According to the first Shita, the reason why there's no Pishutim, because Hekir. According to Rav Asher, you don't need Hekir. It's Keli Haeres. Keli Haeres is no din of Pishutim. So the question then is there a halachic nafkamina between the two opinions? Basically, we just went through all the issues, and they're agreeing on all the issues. So Rabbi Kivi Eger says a big hadush over here. He says there is a halachic nafkamina between the first version and Rav Asher. He says like this. Regarding, let's say, the outside of a kli zechuchit became tameh. Both say, yeah, migabo has tum'ah. According to the first way we're learning, the tum'ah is really stemming from a kli matechet, because it's similar to kli matechet. Just like kli matechet, if it breaks, it's fixable. So too kli zechuchit break fixable. So therefore, Rav Akiva Eger says, according to the first version, if the tum'at of the gav of the kli zechuchit becomes tameh, you can dip it in the mikveh and fix it and make it tahor. Just like a kli matechet has tahara in the mikveh. Since the whole source of tum'at gav by a kli zechuchit is from matechet, so therefore you could make mitahir it like matechet. However, according to Rav Asher, he says, no, it's heres. And the whole reason why the outside becomes tameh, because it's see-through. Therefore, it's like it's in the inside. So therefore, it's emanating from the din of heres. Therefore, you cannot dip it in the mikveh. The only way you're able to mitahir it, according to Rav Asher, is break it. So therefore, you do see a nafka mina, even though they're both agreeing in dinim, but there will be a ika benayu, there'll be a halachic difference between the two shitot. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shimon ben Shatach tiken ketubah le'isha. One of the things that Shimon ben Shatach established was what? Ketubah le'isha. As we learned yesterday, that he established that the ketubah can be taken as a lien on all the husband's properties. So therefore, to make it more difficult for him to give a get to his wife. As we learned, if let's say, which they did in the olden days, they would set aside a certain amount of money, or they would set aside a certain valuable object, and the fellow would say, hey, this from this item you can get your ketubah from. So it would be very easy for him to say, here's a divorce, hey, take the item. But once already, we put a lien on all his property, and now she can come along and say, you know, I want my ketubah from that field. So now already he has to sell the field, and he has to get those. So now it becomes a little more difficult for him to give a get. So therefore we wanted to discourage and make it a little more difficult. So that's why he made a tikkun on the ketubah. Ve'gazar tum'ah al kli matechot. And he also made a gezerah on metal kelim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kli matechot de'oraita ninhu. We just learned kli matechot has tum'ah de'oraita. What do we need Shimon ben Shattah to come along and make a gezerah? Dichtiv. Ach et azahav et akasef. That's the pasuk over there in the Torah. It says, et anechoshet, et abarzel, et abedin, et aofaret. The Torah says all the different metals, and it has the ability to receive tum'ah. So you must learn, it's the ka'ela, le tum'ah yeshena. No, Shimon ben Shattah's hedush was, he was the one that instituted tum'ah yeshena. Meaning, if the keli broke, to become not usable, and therefore it became tahor, and then you refixed it, the old tum'ah comes back until you put it in the mikveh. Now, the question is, what's the logic why they would do such a thing? Why would they institute such an item by kli matechet of tum'ah yeshena? So the Gemara says, the amar Rav Yehuda ma'arav ma'aseh b'shel siyon ha'malka. There was a story with Shel Siyon ha'malka. She was the sister of Shimon ben Shattah. As we learned in Masechet Berachot, she was married to Yanai. And although Yanai went and was very, very mean and ruthless to the Hachamim, however, Shimon ben Shattah, having a sister as queen, was able to hide. So now the Gemara tells us another episode with Shel Siyon and her brother Shimon ben Shattah. Says Maaseh b'Shel Siyon Amalka she'asta mishte libna. She was making a party for her son. V'nitme'u kol keleha. All her metal vessels became tameh. Seems, let's say, somebody died in the house, in the palace, so there was tumat ohel. So all the metal vessels now became tameh. The only way to mitaher a metal vessel that has tum'at met, well, actually, there's two ways. One way is, which was the normal way, you need paraduma. Anything that becomes tameh through a met, it's a 7-day process. Meaning, you have to take the special efer para, put it in the special waters, and you have to sprinkle it on the 3rd day, and you have to sprinkle it on the 7th day. It's a week-long process. Now she's making a party. All the vessels all of a sudden suddenly became Teme'im. So what did the queen do? Veshavartan. So she broke them all. Now that's also an option. If you break the keli, where it's no longer functional, so now it has Tahara. And then what did she do? Venatnan that Soref. She gave all the keli to a Soref, to a smith. Venetechan. And he put them back together again. Ve'asamim kelim hadashim. He melted them down, and he made new kelim. Now that works also. She took the metal keli that was tameh. Mm-hmm. She broke them. Now once you break it, there's no more tumah. It's not a keli anymore. Now she brought it right away to the... She's rich. She can do that. Brought it to the smith the same day. Melt them down and recreate them. Now from the Torah, it's a new keli over here. There's no Torah. So she figured out a way to bypass the 7 days. She couldn't wait 7 days for Parah Aduma. She wanted to use the kelim that day. So comes the Gemara and says, Va'amnu hachamim. So the rabbis right away said, oh, we're worried about such a situation. Yahziru litum'atam yeshena. They said, no, it's going to go back to tum'ah yeshena. They put tum'ah yeshena. And from this story, they put tuma, should I put retroactive tuma? My tama, mishum geder mehatat nagruba. Because they were worried, they made a fence for the mehatat. They were worried that the law of mehatat is going to be forgotten. Which means, if everybody now is going to break their kelim, and we fix them, there's never going to be a use for mehatat by kelim. So they were concerned that the law of mehatat by kelim is going to be forgotten. So therefore they put a tuma on it again. They said the only way you can metahed it is with mehatat. So the Gemara says, Hani haleman davar lo dechol atumot amru ela letumat amet bilvad amru. Shapir. This is all good according to the opinion that says that the tumah yishchina that they put by kelim was only when it comes in contact with a met. So that we understand why they did it. Because they didn't want the laws of Efer Aparat to be forgotten. So therefore they made an institution that tumah yishchina is going to come. So therefore you have to go sprinkle it on the third and the seventh day. Ela leman davar lechol atumot amru. But according to the opinion that says, nah, all tumot, not only met, sheretz, zav, any met, oh, any tumah, they put retroactive tumah on a keli. Then ma'ika lememar. Then what's the reason? If you tell me the whole reason why they put tumah yishna is in order that you don't forget efer apara, and that's the only tumah they put on a keli, tumah yishna, fine. But if you're telling me that they put every tumah yishna back on a keli, what's the purpose? So now you're not only saving efer apara, but you're doing it for obviously another reason. So Amar Abaye Gezera Sheme Lo Yekobenu Bechde Taorato. We're worried if you allow a person to break his metal keli and then fix it, bring it back to its to a new keli again. We're worried you might not break it the first time the right way. To break a keli, you have to make a significant hole in it to make it not functional. So what's the guy going to do? He's going to take his keli, make a little nick in the keli, make a small little hole, that really the tumah is not going to go off in the first place, because he didn't break it the right way. So Rabbi says, you know what? On any tumah, don't, you're not interested in this breaking business. Because if you don't break it the right way, the tumah never came off. So therefore, you know what they said? Even if you break it, the tumah still is on it, even when you put it back together. So that was a gezerah. You might not make a hole in it that will render it taor. Rava Amar, that's Abaye is understanding. Rava Amar, Gezera Sheme Yomru Tevilat Bat Yoma Olala. Rava is a different understanding. He says like this. Normally if a keli becomes tameh, metal keli, the law is, you dip it in the mikveh, and you have to wait until sunset. Just like we, by people, the law is Tevul Yom, you have to wait till sunset for the keli to become tahor. The same thing as by a metal keli. It becomes tahor, you dip it in the mikveh, you wait till sunset. So what was Rava worried about? You're going to have somebody that has a vessel that became tameh. People can know, keli became tameh, yeah, it became tameh. He's going to go, he's going to take it apart, he's going to fix it back together again. Now the guy's going to see him using it. So, oh, I just saw the guy's keli was tamer 20 minutes ago. And I say, oh, must be he went to the mikveh and he dipped it. He's not going to think that you dismantled and put the keli together. And what is he going to say? Ah, the law of mikveh, it started that day, you don't have to wait till the night. He's going to have the keli the next day. That's going to become tamer. He'll go to the mikveh, dip it, and use it immediately. So what are you doing? I saw my friend yesterday. Oh, you know, he broke the keli and fixed it. That's different. The rabbi said, in order that a person should not come to make a mistake in thinking that he dipped it, and the dipping of the mikveh is viable that day, you know what? You can't break, we're going to put a tumah on. Even if you broke it, put it back together again, tumah you should not come down. So we have two reasons. Comes again and says, my binayu. What's the nafka mina between the two reasons of Abaye and Rabbah? Ika binayu diratzfinu marzif. Nafkamina between the two reasons. Let's say you flattened the keli. You had a metal keli that became tameh. You didn't just break it. You flattened it. You demolished the keli. What's the nafkamina? So that she brings two ways of learning the nafkamina. They're opposite from each other. Let's say both of them. If you flatten the keli, so according to the opinion that says, you're worried that you might not break it the right way, Right, you demolished it. This is not just you made a hole in it. This is you flattened the whole thing totally. So if that's the gezerah will not apply in a case where you totally demolished the keli. But if you say the whole reason is we're worried about the mikveh, that the guy's going to think, so what's the difference? Bottom line, you flattened, I don't care what you did to it. Bottom line, once you're using that keli on the same day after you put it back together again, we have a gezerah of that the people might think, you could dip kelim in the mikveh and use it that day. So that would be a nafkamina. That's one way of learning. Then the Rashi brings down the exact opposite. And he says like this, if the whole thing is you're concerned you might not break it the right way, might not make a right hole, might not, you know, so I don't care how you break. I'm not going to make a difference between if you demolished, if you made a small hole, big hole. Bottom line, if the issue is that we're concerned you might not break it enough to make it tahor, so I'm not going to make a hiluk. However, if you say the reason is mikveh, so he says like this, when you flatten a keli like that, and you put it back together again, it has no semblance, it does not resemble the first keli. Uh-huh. So when a guy sees you using that keli, he'll say, oh, this is a different item. This is a different item here. He's not going to think it's the same keli that became tameh because it doesn't look anything like it. Because if it was totally demolished, you put it back together again, there's no gizrah. There's only a gizrah of the mikveh. What? If I think the same keli that was tameh is being used, but if I think it's a different keli, no problem. So therefore, she says, for the reason of Ravana, it says mikveh, that I might make a mistake. In this case, you have no problem. Because no one's going to say that this is the same kid because it's totally, the miles are put together again, it looks different. Comes again, and continues. Veidach mayi. Alright, so now we're back to the 18 gezerot. So we don't have all of them yet. So the Gemara says, what's the other gezerah of the 18? So the Gemara says, Ditnan, because we have Mishnah. Hameniyach kelim tahat asinor. Lekabel bahem megeshamim. A person has a roof. I'll show you the picture of it as I explain it to you. That's picture number 174. On his roof, he has what's called a sinor. We'll call it like a gutter, where water is able to go through. And it's going, the rainwater goes through the sinor that's on his roof, drips down into a keli. You see there's a keli over there, a vessel that the rain is going into, and then it's overflowing out of that vessel and falling into a mikveh. That ditch on the bottom is a mikveh. Now, let's just analyze and make believe there was no vessel on the ground. Let's just imagine you have a sinor on the roof, the water's going through it, and falling into the mikveh, kasher or not. So it depends. We know when we're making a mikveh, the rain cannot go into a vessel. It has to go straight into the pit without any vessels. Now seemingly this sinor over here is a vessel. You have a drain on top of the roof or a pipe on top of the roof, like a gutter or a leader, whatever you want to call it, and it's falling into it and it's going through. How could this be kasher? We're discussing the laws of mikveh. So Rashi tells us, because we're talking about where you had, let's say, a piece of metal or concrete or whatever you're making this sinod out of, and you attached it to the roof before you made it a keli. After it became attached to the roof, then you chiseled it out and made a vessel out of it. Once it's attached to the roof first, before it was a sinor, and then you dug it out, it's considered roof. It's considered not a keli, which is if you would have taken a pipe, dug it out, and then attached it to the roof, finished. There's nothing to talk about mikveh. This is she'uvin already, the water went in it, it went through a keli, out. So when you attached it before it became a sinor, the way that she says it is, you were chokek, you were koveya, first you fixed it, you established it, you connected it, and then you chiseled out. Okay, so we got the sinor is not a problem. That's what you say. Get the sinor out of the way. The issue is going to be this keli that you have on the bottom. That's right in front of the mikveh where the water is going in it. And now it's landing from the keli into the mikveh. Now, seemingly, if it's going to a keli, you have a problem of shiuvin, because you're not allowed to have water that goes into a keli and then subsequently into a mikveh. It has to go directly in. So we have to figure out the status of this keli. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ditna ana meniach kelim ta'atasino lekabel bahem megeshamim." Person put kelim under the pipe in order to receive the rainwater. Ehad kelim gedolim, whether they're big kelim, ve'ehad kelim ketanim, whether they are small, ve'afilu kli abanim, whether they're made out of stone, ve'kli adama, or they're made out of earth, u'kli galalim, even if they're made out of, according to Rashi's one understanding of Rashi, they're made out of dung, which means they're made out of excrement of an animal, they form kelim out of them. It means no matter what the keli is made out of, which is even though this kelim, let's say, regarding the laws of tum'ah, might not be considered kelim. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm speaking these weird kelim. Means for tum'ah, maybe such a keli, kli galalim, does not have a din of tum'ah. But for mikveh, it's considered a keli. So it says, poslim et ha-mikveh. The water went through any of these types of kelim, it's posel the mikveh. Ehad ha-maniyah, whether you placed it there to catch the rain, ve'ehad ha-shukheyah, or you forgot it there. Which means you placed it there, and then all of a sudden, you had intention, let's say, to take it out. Hey, you forgot the keli there. Shukayah, doesn't matter. Devrebe chamai. Whether you placed it there intentionally or you forgot it there, it ruins the mikveh. Ubetelel metarim b'shukayah. Betelel says no. If you forgot it there, the only time she'uvin is pasul is when you put it there intentionally as a keli to catch the rain, and then it went into the keli and overflowed into the mikveh. But if you put it there, and you forgot it there, which is you really don't want it, you forgot it, you wanted to take it back, but you forgot it, that's not considered wanting the keli there intentionally. I forgot it, it's like it's not there. So that's the mahlok di bet shemayim bet hilel by the case of shokheyah. And that's one of the 18 they want to say. Mahloket bet shamay bet hilel, you forgot a vessel by the mikveh. Amar bi meir nimnu verabu bet shamay al bet hilel. In that case, like we said, bet shamay had the majority over bet hilel, and then bet hilel agreed exactly like the 18 gezerot. So comes the Gemara and says umodim bet shamay. Bet shamay agree, however, b'shocheyach b'chaser. If let's say you forgot a vessel, not right under the tzinur, under the pipe. You forgot a vessel in the courtyard. Which means next, if you look in the picture 174, you see a second vessel, vessel bit. That's not under the drain pipe, it's not catching the water from the roof. It's just sitting in the chaser, receiving rain from the shamayim, and it's overflowing in it into the mikveh. If you forgot that vessel, bet shamay will tell you, Shehu Tahor, it's okay. What's the difference? Why does Bet Shammai say if you forgot it under the drain pipe, no good, but if you forgot it in the Haser, it's okay? What's the Hiluk? The Hiluk is, because when you stick it under the drain pipe, originally you wanted it obviously to catch that water. I don't care if you forgot it thereafter. Bottom line is you put it there to catch the rain originally, finished. It's considered Shehuvin. But in the Haser, you just put it there. You're not necessarily caring to catch the rain. So therefore, if you forgot it in the Haser, it's okay, according to Bet Shammai. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, no, this is not one of the 18. Adayin mahloket b'mkoma omedet. Which means, the mahloket of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, as we learned in the 18, it started off, they argued, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, they argued on the 18, and then the next day it said Bet Hillel eventually agreed to Bet Shammai. However, we're learning now, according to the BOC, it says Bet Hillel in this case never agreed. Therefore, this cannot be one of the 18. Again, I read again. Amar of Yosef Adayin Mahlok Mekom Ha'omedet. This Mahlok is still standing. Now, let's go back to the case, one more point. Amar of Misharshia. Debe Rav Amre, Rav, the house of the Bet of Rav, the Bet Midrash of Rav explained, Hakol Modim, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel, in this case of the pipes and the Kelim. Everybody agrees, kishinihan bishat kishur avim temim. If you place the keli under the pipe when there was clouds, which means that's obviously you're putting it there what, to catch the rain. Everybody agrees your intention is what? To collect the water. And therefore, this is considered kavanah in a keli, mayim sheuvim, posel de mikveh. No argument. Bishat pizur abim, and everybody also agrees that what, when you put the keli there, bishat pizur abim, when it was sunny, let's say, when there was no clouds, the brakol tehorin. Because obviously when you put it there when it was sunny, it
wasn't to collect.
So therefore was it to collect rain, and therefore even though, let's say, it rained afterwards, you have no problems. When you put it there, it was during the sun. Lo nihliku ela. So the words to mahloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, Sheniham bishat kishur abim. Let's say you put it there under the pipe when it was cloudy. But what happened? Then it never rained. The sun came out. And when what happened? The hazru v'nit kashiru. And then, after the sun came out, you forgot it there. See, now your attention wants to take it. You forgot it there. And now what happened? The clouds came again, and now it
rained.
Mor sabar batla mahshavto. Beit Hillel says that once the sun came out, your original intent to catch the rain is out. Because the sun came out. You forgot to take your keli? Yeah, it's okay. However, Mor sabar lo batla mahshavato. But Beit Shammai says, no, since originally you put it there to catch rain, now it got sudden, you forgot it there, and the clouds came back again, your original intent is still there. And therefore, it's considered she'uvim, and therefore, it's going to posel the mikveh. So again, if you put it there when it was cloudy, everybody says, finished, the rain came in, no question, that's she'uvim. If you put it there when it was sunny, everybody says, no problem, you don't know intent for rain. The mahloket is, you put it when it was cloudy, stuck it under the drain pipe. Which means everybody agrees it was intent for rain, but it didn't rain. The sun came out. Both agree, what did you do? Say, you know what, I'm going to go pick up my vessel now. No purpose. But like, you forgot it there. Now new clouds came and rained into the vessel. Beit Hillel says, it doesn't matter. Once already the sun came out, your original intent to put it there is nullified. No she'uvin. Beit Shammai says, nah, I don't care if you forgot in the interim. Bottom line, you put it there for rain. And it rained in it? It's considered she'uvin. Last point. The Gemara says, once you tell me this is not one of the 18, so we got to plug another one in to make up the shortfall. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yosef, the Amar Machloket Adayim Bimkom Ha'omedet. According to Rabbi Yosef, that says that this Machloket Beit Hillel never agreed, and therefore it's not one of the 18, but srelehu, your short one, you're missing one. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, af benot kutim nidot ma'arisatan bo bayom gazru. We'll add the following case in. What's the case? Benot kutim nidot ma'arisotan. Kutim, we said, as we learned, they are the quasi-converts that converted in Eretz Yisrael. There was a whole question if these converts were legitimate or not. But one thing is for certain, they did follow certain laws of the Torah. Other laws of the Torah, however, they did not accept. Specifically, a lot of the laws that come from the Torah Sheba'al Peh, they did not accept. One of those laws was as follows. According to the Torah law, based on a derasha, the law is that there is tum'ah on a nida, even if the girl is a baby. There's no minimum age for a girl to become nida and therefore become tume'ah. The rabbis learned that from a pasuk, that she brings it down. It says in the pasuk an extra word ve'isha. So from the extra word ve'isha, the rabbis make a derasha, any isha, meaning even a baby. The kutim did not accept that. They said that only when she matures, when she's a little older. But an infant, a baby, no tumat nida. Now that was a problem for us. Because now, if they didn't treat their little girls as nida, if they were nida, it can affect our tumah v'tahara. Which means, what's going to happen now if a kohen comes along with tiruma and a little kuti girl touches it? You're going to ask the kuti father, is your daughter tahor? He'll say, what? Yeah. Even though she really might be nida, because they didn't accept that the Rashab Hazal that said what? That a little girl can become tameh. So what did the rabbis have to do? The rabbis said, every baby of a kuti girl, even in her cradle, is tameha. Finished. So therefore we have no question, no problem. Now, the Gemara calls that benot kutim, nidot ma'arisotan. The benot kutim are considered nidot from the cradle. Now, that was originally a machloket, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel. That was one of the 18. Bet Shammai said, they're tameh. Bet Hillel said, no. The majority was in the side of Bet Shammai, therefore they had to rule tameh. And the next day, Bet Hillel came and agreed, and said, okay, we acquiesce. So therefore, take out the case of the pipe with the keli, since Bet Hillel never agreed, put the case of Benot Kutin, Timein Ma'arisotam. In the previous Shiurim, and in the upcoming Shiurim, we are, and have been referring to different pictures of the different cases that the daf is referring to. We are using a sefer called Perush Chai. And therefore, if our listeners want to purchase the Perush Chai and follow along as we announce the numbers in that book where these pictures are, it would be a tremendous aid in order to understand the cases more clearly.